The epistle appointed to be read for this, the 18th Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from the first epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, I give thanks to my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus, because in everything you have been enriched in him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the witness to Christ has been made so firm in you that you lack no grace while awaiting the appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also keep you secure unto the end, unimpeachable, in the day of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. Matthew. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Jesus, getting into a boat, crossed over and came to his own town. And behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a pallet. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, "Take courage, son, thy sins are forgiven thee." And behold, some of the scribes said within themselves, "This man blasphemes." And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you harbor evil thoughts in your hearts? For which is easier to say, 'Thy sins are forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Arise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," then he said to the paralytic, "Arise, take up thy pallet, and go to thy house." And he arose and went away to his house. But when the crowd saw it, they were struck with fear and glorified God, who had given such power to men. Thus, for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, I bring to your attention, especially for those of you that live close by, that we have Vespers and Benediction today. And I wish to bring to your attention that we, beginning tomorrow, I think it is, the 1st of October, we will start the daily Holy Rosary. I'm not sure that we will be going to the shrine each night because it's already dark, but we will probably say it in the church. But for those of you, obviously, who cannot come to the daily rosary at that time, I encourage you to try to say the rosary at home, together, family. If you are accustomed to saying the rosary already, then I would like to strongly suggest that the rosary, this rosary that I speak of, is added to what you are already doing. Let this be a very special rosary. My dear people, we had all best come to the conclusion that it is going to be the Holy Rosary, if we say it correctly, if we say it with genuine intention, that is going to keep us where we belong. And therefore, I ask you, please, to try to add this particular devotion to what you are already doing with this special intention, and that Almighty God and His Blessed Mother, our Lord Jesus and His Blessed Mother, will protect us from all of the vicious storm, wind, thunder, and lightning that is all around and about us. We must have this protection. We are talking about the salvation of our immortal souls. Therefore, my beloved people, let us pay close attention. This week is an unusual week. It began with yesterday, actually. We celebrated the great and awesome Saint Michael. Today is the feast of the very important Saint Jerome. Tuesday is the feast of the guardian angels. Wednesday is the feast of Saint Teresa. Thursday is the feast of Saint Francis. We skipped Saturday. I'm sorry, I left the day out. Friday, not so much for you as it is for the Benedictines, the feast of our Saint Placidus, who is the little boy follower of our Holy Father Saint Benedict. And next Sunday is the feast of the Holy Rosary. Every day, practically speaking, we have an enormous saint to go to. There are those, unfortunately, who, when we present saints, they feel that there is some lack of something when we speak of the saints, and that we should get deeper into the values and the comings and the goings of the theological ramifications of the salvation of one's soul. I don't think so. Why do we go to the saints? Why do we go to Saint Michael or Saint Teresa, the guardian angels, or Saint Jerome, or whoever, the Blessed Mother especially? Why? Is it for lack of something better to do? Is it because we lack enough information on what we are supposed to do that we just simply go to the saints and see how they did this or that or the other, and then we run home right quick and do this or that or the other that saint this or saint that has done? My dear people, our Lord, of course, we have two saints at this time, or two groups of saints at least at this time, Saint Michael and Saint and the guardian angel. Let's keep to Saint Jerome and Teresa and Francis and Placidus and so on. God made Saint Teresa just as he made every one of us in here this morning right now. He formed Saint Teresa in his own image and likeness, and he polished that form of his in the person of Saint Teresa, the little flower. The little flower lived, the little flower left this life and went to him who made her. And he was pleased, and he was happy, and he had his Saint Teresa, whom he formed in the way that he decided to form Saint Teresa. And so he is satisfied. Now, we go to Saint Teresa, or to whoever. We're using Saint Teresa today, just for the sake of discussion, an example. How many of us go to Saint Teresa and then work to imitate Saint Teresa? And to the extent possible, We run around like other so many little St. Teresas all over the place. My dear people, a moment ago I said, he already has St. Teresa in his image and likeness and formation. Now, he wants me. And he wants to form me. And he wants to polish in me that which is peculiar in me that attracts him. And therefore, when hopefully, please God, it is time for me to leave this particular life and to walk into the next and to present myself to him, he wants to see me, not St. Teresa. He wants to see what I have done to cooperate with him in his effort to reform me and to turn me and to change me and to make me a better image of himself. And so he wants to see me when I go there. As it is with each one of us, he wants to see each one, myriads and constellations of saints, each one different, beautiful, magnificent, holy, each one as he himself has formed each one of us, each one of you. And in the beauty that each of you possess, that is what he is looking for. A genuine star in the constellation of all the heavens. That's who he's looking for. He already has this saint or that saint or Saint Paul or Saint Timothy or Saint Mark or anybody. They're there in place all around him as he enjoys them now in that awesome company. In that awesome company, he wants you and you and you, because he has a place for you. And for you to join them and to add to the beauty that is already there. That's what he's after. Why do we go to the saints? Why do we go to St. Teresa? Why do we go to St. Francis or whoever? If it's not to imitate them, then why? For several reasons. First of all, we are looking for advocates in heaven, are we not? I need this. I want that. I want the other thing. I want to make a safe trip. I want to get this job. I want my child to be converted. I want safety. I want an unlimited number of things that I want. Sometimes it appears that God is not listening because nothing in particular has happened, at least according to the way I am asking for it. And so I go to such ones as St. Teresa, St. Benedict, St. Placid, or whoever, St. Francis, whoever, St. Michael, the guardian angels, and I ask them to go and take my petition and place it in the hands of God. And we ask them, just as we ask every day the monks in there when we recite our divine office, O God, make haste to hear me. Make haste to hear me. I need this. I need this now. Saint Teresa, please take what I need and help me get it. That's one big reason why I pray to Saint Teresa or whoever. One big reason. To imitate Saint Teresa? No. But there's something else that I need from Saint Teresa, and I need it desperately. It is not for a new job or for a safe trip or whatever that I might have in this life, but I need someone to show me what it is that I must do. Not so much in this case as what I must be, but rather it is something that I must do. And I look to her and I ask her to please obtain for me that grace which I need that will cause me, allow me, for me to cooperate with whatever that will make me a saint. I do not know, I do not have the ability, I do not have anything at all that will be helpful to me to become that saint. I have the desire, but I need help. I need the ingredient. I need that ingredient that will turn all of the good things that I do. I fast. I say prayers. I say many prayers. I do penance. I give alms to the poor. I do all kinds of wonderful things. But somehow there is an ingredient that will bring all these things together and make them bring about sanctity in me. It's like when you are baking a cake. You may have all of the best ingredients that money can buy, but somehow the flour that you use, or whatever, some particular ingredient you could think of, is simply stale or worn out, lost its power to function. No matter however good the other ingredients may be, when all mixed together, and I have something that looks, at least in the state of raw, perfectly beautiful, it is a masterpiece. Truly a masterpiece of beauty. Everything is there. And with joy, I place it in the oven to cook. And then to my great horror, when I open the door of the oven, I find that nothing happened. It is still an empty, or rather, it's still a masterpiece of nothing. What a waste. What a waste of time and energy and stuff. So many of us wherever we may be, our relatives, friends, benefactors, whoever. I'm preaching to us all. Have all of the great ingredients that make for sanctity. But somehow, there is that little something that is missing in us. I don't know what. Everyone is different. But there's that little something that is missing in us that keeps all of my fastings and my prayers and my rosaries and my masses, all these things, somehow or other, do not come together. And it's that one little why they don't come together. It's a small word, and it's used so often. Why? Why didn't all of these wonderful things that I do come together? May I, please excuse me, may I bring the poor little Pharisee into the story, who went up to the temple to pray. Poor man, we do pick on him very much. He had all the ingredients. He didn't do this, he didn't do that, he does this, he does that, I am this, I am that, I am the other. Therefore, you have got to be pleased with me because I am so very good. But something was missing. And when it all came down, nothing was there. However, in the other poor fellow, again, like in the case of the cake that we're baking, if we have good flour, if we have good flour, even if all of the other magnificent ingredients are missing, somehow or other, there is cake or bread or something. But there's something there. The other little fellow in the temple didn't have any of these ingredients that are so flashy and so big and so wonderful. There, nothing was there. But that little something that was necessary was there. And for that, he received his reward. My beloved people, loving God simply loving God in the simplest possible way, simply by desire, a wish, a want, to love God, simply to love Him. Is infinitely easier than all of my fasting, and all of my prayer, and all of my rosaries, and all of my masses, all these other things put together, just simply to love. It costs me nothing to love. And if I love the way I am, the way He wants me to love, that is pleasing to Him, I don't need all these other things. I will have that formation in me that He put in Teresa, or Benedict, or Joseph, or Mark, or Mary Magdalene, or whoever. I will have all of this. I just simply love. I don't have to change my job. I don't have to change my work. I don't have to change my clothes. I love. And for that, I am blessed. However, let us not make the mistake that we can love with unfaithfulness. We cannot love. It is not love if we are unfaithful. And what is faithfulness? No more and no less than being absolutely true to what we stand for. I love you, God, with all of my heart. And that love then becomes a backdrop in my life. We've spoken of backdrops before. And that love then puts luster. The reflection comes off of that backdrop onto everything I do, and everything, be it a tiny trifle, it becomes magnificent in the eyes of God. And it all boils down to this, as we will see in today's bulletin. And we close at that. So much do we love so much do we love so strong is our prayer. My beloved people,